If you take your Bibles and open up to Exodus chapter 5, we're going to be looking at the very last couple of verses of Exodus chapter 5 and the first 9 verses of chapter 6. We're looking at the text in which Moses goes to the people of Israel and also is asking God what it means to be free and how God is going to liberate the people of Israel from the bondage that they are in from the people of Egypt. The whole Pentateuch is talking about freedom. Beginning with the first couple of chapters of Genesis, freedom in an intrinsic sense, because God created him free. And then when they find themselves fallen, in a fallen state, and no longer free to enjoy that state, the whole rest of the Pentateuch is God's demonstrating that He's going to bring them to freedom through His law, and then also going to bring them to freedom practically from the Egyptians by the liberation that's going to take place at the Exodus. Actually, I'm going to have Bob come up and read this right away. Exodus chapter 5, verses 22 through 29, because I want to expound on this a little bit later after he gets done.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Would you stand out of respect for the reading of God's holy word, please? Exodus chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. Moses returned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you brought trouble upon these people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to the Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon these people, and you have not rescued your people at all. Then the Lord said to Moses, Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I will make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and a mighty act of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and cruel bondage. May God add his blessings to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated.
If you want to follow along in the sermon online, it should be in your service folder. It should look like the bulletin cover, except just smaller. And by the way, you need to know more self-discipline and more self-restraint is going into this message than ever before. If you look online, there's 5 times the material that's in this online. And I would love to give you all of it. Well, it ain't going to happen. Question before the house. What does Jesus and the Pentateuch have to do with freedom and liberty? The answer, everything. The Pentateuch is a historical record of how mankind was free and what Israel did to enslave themselves and how God provided a deliverer to free them. Because we are constantly, ever since the fall in Genesis chapter 3, are constantly enslaving ourselves. With our vices, with our habits, with our actions, with our consequences of our actions, we are putting ourselves in bondage to our own guilt, to our own sinfulness, to our own reputation, to our own need for security, to our own need for a good reputation. We are masters at enslaving ourselves. But God has provided a deliverer to set us free. The historical record of the Exodus is a foreshadowing of the liberation and freedom that Jesus would ultimately provide for all those who put their faith in and their trust in Him. And then this great quote from Harry Blaymeyers on the Post-Christian Mind. He says, "Freedom appears to be something that you gain or forfeit. It seems to stand on the further side of choice and decision." We have in our brains that freedom is doing whatever we desire to do. My friends, it takes you only 3 minutes of concentrated thinking to realize that's the most stupidest thing in the world to think that that's what freedom is. I desire to be able to stay up all night and work on my house and not sleep at all in order to be able to come here and be able to give a message that's just absolutely wonderful. But if I were to do that, I would probably fall asleep in the middle of my own message. There are consequences for every action that we have. We are not free to do as we desire because our desires are most of the time way out of whack. Unless we're walking in alignment to Christ. Unless we have done what we talked about last week, embrace God's law and love God's law so much that all we want to do is follow that, then we're free to do whatever we want. But my friends, I have all sorts of desires that would be absolutely stupid to pursue. Don't look at me that way. You do too. I'd love to fly. I remember as a kid, I got one of my mom's sheets. And we had a grain elevator that was about 25 feet tall. And on the top of it, it had an opening in it that the elevator went in that you poured the grain inside this granary. And I got my, it was about June or so, we hadn't filled it yet, the grain hadn't been ready. I got my sheet and I pinned it around me, got my t-shirt with my big red S on it, and I was going to jump out that 20-foot window out above the ground and be like Superman. Then I looked out the window and went, whoa. I'm not sure I want to do that. Now, I was free to jump. I was not free to land. I would have paid a horrible price if, in fact, I'd even be alive to be talking to you today, if I'd followed along with my freedom. In fact, I may have enslaved myself the rest of my life with paralysis. Or worse. That's what we need to understand about freedom. That's what our founding fathers understood about freedom. They didn't say it was do whatever you want to. Only idiotic philosophers think that. And there's a bunch of them. We're going to be talking about them. Here's a quiz for y'all. What do California, Idaho, Indiana, Michigan, Nebraska, Nevada, New York, Ohio, and Wisconsin all have in common? Anybody know that wasn't here in the first service? What do all those states have in common? Well, I'll tell you, since nobody's going to take a guess. All of them have within the preamble of their state constitution a line that says that they're grateful to Almighty God for their freedom. Oh, I'm not done. What do Arizona, Florida, Illinois, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maryland, Minnesota, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, North Carolina, North Dakota, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Carolina, South Dakota, Utah, Washington, West Virginia, and Wyoming all have in common? Want to venture a guess? No, that's incorrect. You can try in the bonus round. They all have in their state constitutions a line thanking God for their liberties. Now, I didn't count them up, but there's a lot of states there that recognize that God has given them their freedom. Listen to this quote that's in the... how many have been to the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C.? Oh, did you read the little quote there underneath the statue? This is what it says. Thomas Jefferson. In the Thomas Jefferson Memorial, Washington, D.C. In Washington, D.C., people who should know better. Okay, I'm done with that part. God, this is the quote from Thomas Jefferson. God who gave us life gave us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that His justice cannot sleep forever. Our liberties come from God. That was the basis of the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be... Oh, you've read it too. That God has allowed all men to be created equal. and are endowed with certain inalienable rights. Where? From their Creator. We have right, we have liberty, but only when we are following God, only when we are listening to God to be able to attain that freedom. We have a bunch of idiots today. I'm sorry. We have a bunch of people who are less informed today. It is the 4th of July. I should try to at least a little bit to be politically correct. No? Okay. Well, we have a bunch of idiots today who think that liberty and freedom is to be able to do whatever you want to. Listen to this quote from August 1992 Esquire magazine on freedom. This guy says, freedom is going wherever I want to go, do what I want to do, say what I want. There are no rules. Freedom's just another word for a mess that somebody else has to clean up. Oh, you heard it. You know what I want to do with people like that? You know what? I want to turn them over to James. He's a state trooper. Folks, that's the problem. Is we have people that think they can do whatever they want to do and allow somebody else to clean up the mess. That's not freedom. That's anarchy. That's tyranny. Freedom is when we can allow each other to be able to enjoy life to its fullest, not burden other people. A lot of good quotes about what freedom is. They're in your sermon outline. I don't have a chance to go through them all. Let's go through some things that... wait a minute before we go on. Before we get involved with point number one, which is, by the way... Oh, wait, the word for the day is liberty. Sorry, baby. Sorry, Chad. Chad's going, where is he at? What does it mean to be free, to have freedom and liberty? It means to follow Christ. It means to understand that we live in a world that there are laws and you cannot break those laws without consequences. And if you break those laws, you will find yourself restricted. It's really interesting to go down to the hospital. And you go in and you got really people that are doing a great job of cleaning up the area. And one lady went into the hospital and said, wow, you're really cleaning up. And would you come to my house and clean my yard like that? And the guy said, oh, I sure would. And then she noticed it said Department of Corrections on the back. Listen, folks, if you don't live in the world in which we live, we know that there are natural laws. If you break them, you're going to come crashing down if you try to break the law of gravity. And there are also social laws that if you try to break them, they will come down hard on you and put you in bondage. And the quicker we understand that our freedom is reined in by the law of God so that we can be free in the long term, the better off we're all going to be. But our trouble is we have bought into the idea that freedom is doing whatever we want to do. My friends, that's bondage. That is cutting yourself off. And actually some French philosophers who normally don't know the time of day actually said such a thing. We'll get to those guys a little bit later on. What does it mean to have freedom? It's not autonomy. You need to understand that there's a distinct difference between autonomy. Remember last week I told you that the Deuteronomy was the second giving of the law, deuteronomos. Duo is second, like duo or duet, those kind of, and then nomos is law. What is autonomous? It's auto law. It's a law unto myself. You are not free to do that. Only God is a law to himself. And unfortunately, ever since the garden on, we've thought that we could be a law unto ourselves and we could operate freely however we wanted to. We could do whatever we desire. My friends, that is death. That is bondage. Oh, I have so much I want to say. Look, do the sermon outline. The sermon notes online if you want to know more about this. Just understand that if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Number two, why is freedom so important? By the way, I'm going to give you answers that are not in the sermon outline because this all came after Thursday when this had to be printed because the secretary doesn't work past Thursday. We've got to talk to her about that. Anybody? You can talk to her about that. Why is freedom... No, we won't do that. Why is freedom important? Because freedom is the image of God. Freedom is the way we were created. Freedom is the way we were wired to operate in this world. Freedom is what we're supposed to be our MO. Do you know that what... Do you know anybody know the saying that is stamped on the Liberty Bell that's in Philadelphia? It's from Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10. It goes like this. Proclaim freedom throughout the land for all its inhabitants. Leviticus 25, 10. You know what the context of that statement is? It's within the context of the year of Jubilee. The year in which all slaves were set free. The year in which all debts were canceled. The year in which everybody got a second chance to start all over with a clean slate. Some of you would love to have a year of Jubilee. It also meant that for whatever reason, through bad finances, through bad crops or whatever, if you lost your land, the family land resorted back to your original family inheritance, so that meant you got your portion of the land back, even if your family had sold it 40 years ago. You got it back. Everybody started with a piece of land. Everybody started with a clean slate. Everybody was free. Why? Why did God set up the year of Jubilee? Because God wired us all to be free. God wired us all to live that way. And some people, through their own misfortune, through their own circumstances, found themselves enslaved, found themselves in bondage, and so He gave them a second chance to get out of it. Please understand, that's the Imago Dei that we are all wired for. That's what we're to live for, is to be free. Also, freedom is the basis of real life. It's how we're supposed to live in the world. It also reveals our hearts. When you're free to express yourself, free to have choices and desires and pursue those, it reveals where you are. It reveals your heart. Freedom is also the prerequisite for worship. That's why Jesus saves you, so that you can worship Him. That's why God saved the Israelites. Listen, read very, very carefully the first 14 chapters of the book of Exodus and tell me that God didn't set the people of Israel free for them to come out and worship Him. That's exactly why He set them free. Okay, number three. Who is truly free? He who looks to Christ for life. We need to understand that Christ... Remember last week I talked about how if we really love the law and if we really pursue the law, that we'll really find life in its abundance? That's what Deuteronomy said, is what Jesus said. The problem is we try to live our lives outside of the law and we find ourselves in bondage. There's a great story about Animal Liberation Federation, ALF. Back in the mid-90s, this group of PETA lovers... Anyway, wanted to liberate cows. And they called it the Bovine Liberation Mission, in which they were going to go to this farm in northern Wisconsin that had 71,000 cows. And they were going to set them all free. This 900 square mile farm. Set them all free. And they did. They went in, cut the wires, took their vehicles and chased them all out, got them all free. Within 3 hours, how many was it? 57 cows had been hit by cars. 43 had been hit by cars. 11 had fallen off bridges and drowned in the rivers. And 3 had died from eaten electrical lines. Freedom! Listen, God made domesticated animals. And the reason why God made domesticated animals and why they're to be domesticated is because they have no brains. They have no natural survival skills in the wilderness. Have you ever seen a pack of sheep that are surviving and thriving in the wilderness on their own? No. They have no skills to survive. That's why the good shepherd will go out and try to rescue it quickly. It can't make it on its own. God has set up boundaries. God has set up fences for us to stay within because we all like sheep. Do you know that child psychologists, and I know this is true because it was true in my elementary, child psychologists have found out that children play freer and more less inhibited and have a better time if they have a perimeter fenced out play yard? When I was in elementary school, back in the early 60s, That's when we had all this free thinking. We need to allow people to expand and allow them to have their freedom. They took down all the fences around our elementary school, which was right down by Cherry Street, which is a fairly busy street in Blissfield. And you know where we played? We played about 30 feet away from the sidewalk, which was 10 feet away from the street. Why? Because we don't go near the street. Guess what happened when they put the fence up? We played right up to the fence. We doubled our square footage of being able to where we could play because now we had no longer a concern about where we went in the street. We weren't going to go in the street. We had a fence to protect us. My friends, God's laws are your fence. And you can play and free with all sorts of room inside those fences, and you can be secure and safe while you're there. Oh, that's good preaching, Pastor Keith. Unfortunately, we put ourselves outside the fence and we end up in bondage. We end up scared. We end up intimidated. Bertrand Russell, who is a philosopher, English philosopher, normally I disagree with about everything he has to say, but this is something that he said that really is brilliant. He said, "It is preoccupation with possessions more than anything else that prevents man from living freely and nobly." What did Jesus say? Why are you worried about him? God knows you need him. He'll take care of you. Just follow him and live. Okay, number four. Where does one discover the true source of freedom? True freedom comes by trusting Christ. Remember the chariots of fire? Those two runners, Abrams and Little? Abrams was running for England, for duty, for law, because he had to. He was a cheerless man that had to drive himself and conquer his desires in order to win and to be victorious. And Eric Little said, "When I run, I feel God's pleasure." And which one blew away people? This is 1928 or 1924 Olympics. Which one blew away the people? Now that has a movie written about him. Eric Little did. Why? Because he ran just to feel free. He ran in order to enjoy the gift that God had given to him. He ran, in fact, the line from the movie is absolutely wonderful. Abram says, Little is so freed by grace that when he runs like a wild animal. He unnerves me. Free people unnerve bound people. We need to be free. We need to live free. Not be bound by other people's opinions. Not be bound by other people's perspective of us. Not be bound with expectations or fear of rejection or fear of death or fear of anything. Wow. In 1986, an event happened on the news that I'll never forget. I can't remember where I was exactly, but I remember watching on the news as Anatoly Sakharansky, a Jewish dissident, was being released by the Soviets to freedom. Anybody remember this? He was being released, and actually 13 years earlier, he had sent his wife to Jerusalem to go there, and he said, "As soon as I get things tidied up, I'll meet you in Jerusalem." Well, it never happened. The Soviet officials grabbed him, put him in confinement. He took his Psalms, Book of Psalms, with him. He actually spent 130 days in solitary confinement because he wouldn't give up his Book of Psalms. Tough life. Finally, the day came for his liberation, for him to be set free. And I remember this distinctly on the news because the Soviets were on one side of a bridge. It was all snow covered. You remember this? And the people that were receiving him, that taking him to Jerusalem, were on the other side of the bridge. And he took about three steps and then he threw himself down in the snow on the bridge. And the Russians went, "Here we're trying to do this act of goodwill, you know, blah, 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 blah." And the people said, "Get up, Antonio, get up, come on, they may change your minds, get up." You know what he said? "They took my Book of Psalms and I won't go to freedom until I have it." He understood where real freedom comes. It's not being released from a cell. It's not being released from shackles. It's being released from within. It's having a real freedom that doesn't matter what happens on the outside, you're still free as a bird on the inside. He understood. And that's what Jesus is trying to obtain for every one of us. But it'll only come when we trust in Christ. Number five, when are we able to secure freedom? Last week's message is a great place to start. When we love and obey God's laws, understanding where the parameters are, where the limits are, where the boundaries are. Another one is when one dies to self, that's when you're able to start securing freedom. I told you that one of the quotes that I have is by a guy that I normally disagree with all the time, but just like every broken clock, they're at least right twice a day. Thomas Huxley, a guy who was an atheist, said this: a man's worst difficulties begin when he is able to do as he likes. When we die to ourselves and embrace God's agenda for our lives, that's when we begin to have real freedom. When are we able to secure freedom? When we see life's difficulties in light of God's love and providence. Some of you feel bound and oppressed like now, right now, just like the people of Israel felt bound and oppressed by Egypt. And when Moses went to Pharaoh, what did Pharaoh do? Make more bricks! And then when Moses went to Pharaoh, what did Pharaoh do? Now make more bricks without any straw! Get your own straw! They felt enslaved, they felt bound, they felt like, this is not working to my advantage at all. Listen, my friends, sometimes God puts you through very, very tight, difficult, hard places in order to allow you to grow and be liberated, in order for you to become more mature, more complete, not lacking in anything, so that you can have the strength to go on and not allow anything to bother you. Have freedom within. There was one time a guy who had found a emperor moth cocoon, and he took it home to his kids and said, I'm sure this is going to be coming out real quick. These are really, really cool. Kids, watch it when the moth eventually comes out. And sure enough, the day came when the moth started eating the bottom of the cocoon, and it squeezed its head out and was starting to squeeze its big fat body out, and it got about a third of the way out and it stopped. And the guy watched for several hours and said, ooh, this looks like this butterfly's gotten stuck trying to get out of this cocoon. I'll help it out. I'll take some scissors and I'll cut the cocoon out a little bit so it'll have a bigger area to come out of. That emperor moth never grew to maturity. Its wings were always folded up and crinkled. Its body was always overweight and filled with fluids. God had built the emperor moth to open up just a small opening in the cocoon. And as it forced its way through the small opening would force the fluids from its body out to the veins of its wings so its wings could expand and become full size. By him cutting the cocoon, he had destroyed that feature. My friends, you may feel you're going through difficult, tough times, but it is God allowing you to have the freedom to fly one day, in order to really become all that God wants you to become. And by you squirming out of the little frustration or the tough time that you have right now, you're not becoming what God wants you to become. He wants to give you freedom. When are we able to secure freedom? Not only when we love and obey God's laws, when we die to ourselves, when we see life's difficulties in light of God's love and providence, but also when we understand that the promises of God are now and not yet. Please understand, you are not totally free yet because you're not totally following God like you should yet. But one day you will if you love Him with all your heart. One day He will come and change you and you will be like His Son and you will be free, really free. And you can live in light of that freedom and rejoice. I've told you before, but this is a really, really cool story. It's one of my favorite stories of all time. During World War II, there was a German concentration camp in which the Brits and the Americans were next to each other but couldn't get across to each other because of a fence between them. The Americans had taken some weird stuff and built a radio. That sounds like a bunch of Americans, right? You know you can do that with just weird things laying around. But they had built a radio. They could get radio for Europe coming out of broadcast out of Britain. And so the Americans would huddle around and listen to broadcasts. And as they heard the information coming in about the war, they would secretly go out and talk in Gaelic to the British and be able to tell them the updates. Well, one day, news came over the radio. Oops, sorry about that. It's my fault, baby. That the war was basically over, that the Allied forces had stormed into Germany, and Hitler was no more, and it was just a matter of time to mop up the mess. And so this big cheer went out of the American barracks. And they went out and told the British guy that they were making correspondence with, and he went into the English barracks, and they told them, and they all had a big cheer. Now, folks, it was 3 days before the Allied forces came in and liberated them, but they were already free. It may be 20 years before Jesus comes and liberates us totally. But if you understand what He's done, if you understand what He's going to do in you, you can live free now. You can enjoy the freedom that is promised you in the future. You can enjoy it now if you just live and operate in that freedom. Number six, how can we promote freedom for ourselves and others? Live free. It will unnerve people. It will make people nervous. Just like Eric Little made Abrams nervous when he ran like a wild animal. But this world desperately needs people who are free. And one of these days, your pastor is going to get real freedom, and then you're going to realize you're in big trouble. Because you all know, I've confessed to you before, that I live in earnest desire of your approval. I live enslaved to your approval. I know you think it's stupid. Welcome to my world. But you know what? I'm getting over it. God's helping me to realize that if I really am going to be effective for Him, if I'm going to really be free to be able to say and do what I need to do and not worry about what people say about it, I need to shed that burden. I need to shed that oppression. I need to shed that concern and live for God and allow the things to happen that are going to happen, trusting in God's providence. Now, when that happens, you may say amen now. But my friends, when that really happens, God lights a fire. And some of you aren't going to like what it burns. Spiritual challenge. Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death. There is a really cool story I have about him. Yeah, I'm going to tell it. Patrick Henry, most people didn't understand that his wife was insane and he hid her in his basement. And in fact, when guests would come, he would close off the doors and keep her isolated as much as possible. And as soon as they left, he would go back down and feed her and care for her and clean her and all those kind of things. But this is before they had places where they could send people like this. And so she was almost constantly in a straitjacket in the basement. And when on March 23rd, 1776, when Patrick Henry goes into the second Virginia Convention to give his sermon, to give his speech, I have to believe that was on his mind. Are we going to remain enslaved in bondage to what the people of England are telling us? Are we going to allow them to continue armaments built up? What is the purpose of these armaments if not to oppress us? And he ends the speech by saying, give me liberty or give me death. And my friends, we need to have that same passion towards our spiritual freedom. I don't even qualify by spiritual freedom, just freedom. Live free or die. Know that we will be in bondage to any existence outside of God's plan and design for us, which is for us to live in the Imago Dei. You were created and designed to live free. That's part of the image of God that is built within you. You will always be in bondage until you submit to Christ in this way. I challenge you to look especially at your life and the spiritual disciplines and ask yourself, do I see Bible reading, prayer, tithing, attending worship, and Bible studies, etc., as a joy or a chore? Do I see them as a privilege or a nuisance? Do I truly see myself as one who is free to worship God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength? Or am I in bondage as a slave to my own sinful, selfish desires? These are the questions that, depending on your honest answer, will either lead you to life and death, bondage or freedom, slavery or liberty. In the same year that our United States Constitution was being drafted, there was a Scottish historian at the University of Edinburgh by the name of Alexander Tyler that was putting together a summary analysis of democracies and republics throughout the world over the last 2,000 years and trying to come to an understanding of why they fell almost always within about 200 years. He looked at the Greek culture, he looked at the Roman culture, just a lot of different cultures in which they had a democracy and republic, and realized that 200 years is about the average for these nations to survive. This is what he had to say. Listen very, very carefully. I double dog dare you to listen carefully. A democracy will continue to exist up until the time that voters discover that they can vote themselves generous gifts from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates who promise the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that every democracy will finally collapse due to loose financial policy, which is always followed by dictatorship. The average age of the world's greatest civilizations from the beginning of history has been about 200 years. During those 200 years, these nations have always progressed through the following sequence. From bondage to spiritual faith. From spiritual faith to great courage. From courage to liberty. From liberty to abundance. From abundance to complacency. From complacency to apathy. From apathy to dependence. From dependence back into bondage. My friends, we are on that chart. And we're closer to the bottom than I think most of us want to admit. The only way we will remain free as a free nation is if we go back to what our founding fathers understood, that real liberty comes following the Lord Jesus Christ, following God, not making the state our Savior. We have. It alarms me the rate in which in the last 15 years we have surrendered our liberties for the sake of convenience, for the sake of things. We are not giving our grandchildren much of a heritage to hang on to. And don't point to the younger generation. It is us. We are the problem. I have one story I want to end with, I want you to think about. There were two twins by the name of Martin and Morgan. They were identical twins, but that's where the similarities ended. Martin was the model student, the model son, the model citizen. He was always the teacher's pet. He just was compliant and hardworking, willing to do all of his homework, loved to clean up around the house, just a model kid. Morgan was the complete opposite. Morgan, everywhere he went, he thought that freedom was a mess that somebody else had to clean up. He just would take advantage of people. He was always striving to get things for himself. He didn't care what other people thought. He was getting it for himself until finally Morgan had went too far. And in the process of stealing someone else's home, he committed murder and found himself in jail with a death sentence, the electric chair. A week before he was to be executed, his twin brother, Martin, came in to visit him. And as Martin entered the cell and the guard left and locked him in behind, he started taking off his clothes very, very quickly and told Morgan, "Take yours off too, we're switching." When the guard came back minutes later, Morgan left a free man, and Martin, the ideal child, stayed in the prison and died in the electric chair 5 days later. When Morgan got home, he had a choice. Either he could go back to his old lifestyle and do the things that he'd always done and probably find himself in prison again in bondage. Or he could take on the identity of his twin brother Martin and become just like him and live in freedom. You folks have the identical same offer. The God of the universe sent his son and came into your cell and took your place. And if you'll live like him, you will have freedom. But if you go back to your old ways, you go back to your old notions, your old values, you will be in bondage.